And welcome to the podcast of Do You Know the Mob? I'm your host, Samuel Braddon. One of us is wearing a hat in the front. One is wearing it in the back. It's my co-host,
Brandon Ellis, folks. He is right. My grandfather told me to wear your hat like you want your life to go forward.
I love that. Well, I've been told not to wear it backwards for other reasons that I won't mention for my thoughts. Anyways, read between the lines, folks. Read between the lines. Or don't. So, Brandon, did you have some fun Thanksgiving conversation at the table? Any politics or religion or anything controversial?
Well, we spent the Christmas with my family. And my family, the immediate family, is pretty much anything goes. So no topic is off the table.
That's how I expect Ellis' family to be. Brandon, I have a story for you. I got the most Alabama email for work a few weeks ago, and it said it was about speaking to building inspectors in Alabama, and the guy goes, Samuel, we wanted to make sure if you were still wanting to present to us at our monthly meeting at the Golden Corral here in Hoover, Alabama. Oh, it gets better. Golden Corral is spelled wrong.
And one R.
Brandon, I want you to understand. Yeah, it was one R. You knew where they were going. And I want you to know it was not like at the Golden Corral, our monthly meeting at the Golden Corral. So I go there and I do the meeting. Goes well. I get back home. Can't wait to tell my wife about the exciting day I had, you know, more exciting than usual. Not every day you get to speak to building officials at a Golden Corral in Hoover, Alabama. And she gets home and tells me how she resuscitated a baby and the elevator went the wrong way and they couldn't override it. And anyways, so I was like, oh, so you saved a human life. She's like, yeah. So how was your day? And I was like, well, we both had pretty big days, but it's hard to say who had the bigger one.
I saw a man lose 6 months off his life by what he ate today.
It just gets crazier. I showed up at 11 a.m., and I kid you not, Brandon, I haven't been to a Golden Corral in over a decade, I'm proud to say, till now. You know,
that's surprising.
So I'm there at 11 a.m., and I am waiting outside the restaurant. 15-minute wait just to get in. And what? I'm the youngest by 30 years. Oh, yeah. It was. If you're wondering how buffets are doing after the pandemic, they've recovered just fine. They're doing quite well. There is not, and this was like a Thursday after, like Thursday, you know, at lunchtime. This was not your prime Sunday after church Baptist crowd going on here.
That's amazing. Sam, here's my question. Have you seen the Office episode where they're discussing the paper salesman of Northeast Pennsylvania?
Paper salesman of Northeast Pennsylvania. I mean, I've seen all the Office.
Dwight is giving a speech to this auditorium full of people that sell paper in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think I have. Yeah.
That's what I picture right now when you're talking about the people at the buffet.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I said, youngest by like 30 years there, but all in a good day's work, as they say. So, Brandon, we are going to do for our trivia today, we're going to open up with, I want you to name the top 10, or the like 10 who have hosted Saturday Night Live the most. So what 10 celebrities have hosted SNL the most in their careers and lifetime since, you know, Saturday Night Live has been opened. So I bet you'll get some and some you probably won't, but give it a shot.
Well, I'm hoping I do better than my fantasy football team's doing. So, I'm trying to remember if they were hosts or not, if they just were on the show. So I'm going to name several people that are probably permanent members, but
if you do famous celebrities, you'll have a shot at this.
Okay. Will Ferrell, Chris Farley, let's go with T Swift is hot right now. I think she's been on there before.
T Swizzle. Is that Travis's girlfriend? Drake. Okay, so that's four.
Drake. Let's see who else has been around the block a couple of times. Beyonce seems like mm-hmm. someone that should be on there.
There you go.
Rihanna.
Okay. Going with the singers.
Yep, just going with those guys. Let's see.
Thank comedians. Thank comedian actors.
Comedians. Oh boy, I'm really bad with comedians.
Oh, that's all right. It's all right.
Dave Chappelle.
Okay, there you go. Three more.
Galifianakis. I can never think of his name.
Oh, Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, Galifianakis. Okay. Kind of comedian, kind of not. Let's go with Ben Stiller, too, while I'm at it. He seems like a wild pick to throw in there.
He's been around the book.
I think I've got one left. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Huh. Barack Obama.
There you go. The funniest of all.
He's the best one out of everybody.
All right, so some of these you'll be kicking yourself, but that's okay. That's all part of how this works. So top 10, Brandon, number 10 with 5, Bill Murray. Shout out to Space Jam and Groundhog Day. Number 9, Elliot Gould. Number 8, Drew Barrymore. Number 7, Christopher Walken. Who would have guessed Christopher Walken? Mm. Number 6, the iconic Chevy Chase. Number 5, Tom Hanks. Number 4, Buck Henry. Number 3, John Goodman. Nothing like a good John Goodman voice. Number 2, Steve Martin. Got to give it up for Steve Martin. And then number 1, Brandon, Alec Baldwin, who's in a little bit of trouble right now. But anyways.
I think that's the worst I've ever done.
Hey, you know what? That was a tough one.
How many guesses you want?
There's a lot of people to choose from in that. That's all right, Brady. That's all right. We forgive you, and you bring the historical intelligence to this great history podcast, and that's what you're here for.
Now, I think the listeners should know that most Saturday nights I am in bed by 10:30.
Oh, Brandon, you're in bed before 10:30. If you're in bed past 10:30, I hear about it from others. That's how big of a deal it is.
That is true. That is true.
So, Brandon.
I think I was awake till 11, though.
Oh, attaboy. Party animal over here.
And I'm tired today.
I can't wait for when you have a kid someday. You're going to be having trouble. Ooh.
We'll talk about it on the podcast.
So, today's Brandon, I had trouble picking a nickname, not because of lack of, but this guy has two big nicknames. So, I'm like, which one do we title the pod? But today we're going to be doing Willie Sutton, or as I decide to go with, Slick Willie Sutton. Slick Willie. I feel like Slick Willie. But his other famous nickname is The Actor. Willie the Actor Sutton.
The Actor?
That's right. And not necessarily for professional acting. That's just how good he was in his personal life, or professional, whatever you want to call it. So anyways, let's get to it. Slick Willie Sutton, here we go. Born on June 30th, 1901, in Brooklyn, New York. William Sutton was the fourth of 5 children. He attended school through 8th grade, then left home to secure a job, as most young lads should do. After, 8th grade, call it.
Probably time to get going.
That's right. Sutton's employment included jobs as a clerk, a driller, and a gardener. Brandon, I think those were your top 3 career choices right there. So
that was, along with garbage disposal.
My boss, his son wanted to be the garbage man for Halloween, or a garbage truck guy. And I was like, what little boy didn't? What little boy didn't?
I did.
I wanted to ride behind on the truck. So his longest continuous employment lasted 18 months. So, quite a record. Sutton got married in 1929, and this is where he acquired, and then by this time he acquired 2 nicknames, The Actor and Slick Willie, for his ingenuity in executing robberies in various disguises. So this is new. I don't know if we've really seen this before. He was fond of expensive clothes, and Sun was described as an immaculate dresser. That's how I would also describe you, Brandon. Immaculate dresser.
Oh, nice. Oh, God.
Although he was a bank robber, Sun had the reputation of being a gentleman. In fact, people would present at his robberies that they stated he was quite polite. One victim said he witnessed Sun's robberies was like being at the movies, except the usher had a gun. That's definitely one way to describe the scene when you're a witness.
You're doing a good job then. You're cinematic. You should be. I see why he's called the actor.
Oh, yeah. When asked why he robbed banks, Sutton simply replied, because that's where the money is. That's not a very good quote, I got to be honest with you.
I mean, it is where the money is.
He's not wrong. I feel like usually in a podcast episode we get a much more lively quote than that, but that one was pretty. But you're right. He's not wrong. In 1933, Sutton and a co-robber attempted to rob the Corn Exchange Bank and Trust Company in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Sutton, disguised as a mailman, entered the bank early in the morning. The curiosity of a passerby caused the robbery attempt to be abandoned. However, in 1934, Sutton entered the same bank with two other companions through a skylight. When the watchman arrived, they forced him to admit the employees as usual. Each employee was handcuffed and crowded into a small room. So this does feel like a bank robbery movie, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
One of the Ocean movies.
Yeah, kind of. Do you ever wonder if you go to a bank, do you ever think like, oh, what if this is the day?
I always want to go in the back and see what the vault looks like, honestly.
Well, be careful because they might think you're one of the robbers. I just imagine being like sitting by you in a bank robbery situation, Brandon, sharing peanuts and watching this go down. Like, oh, please free the hostages.
This amateur over here. Oh my gosh, you can't even tell the guy what to get.
They're gonna free the women and children first. What about me? I don't wanna be here. Sutton also executed a Broadway jewelry store in broad daylight. He impersonated this time as a postal telegraph messenger. So it must have been more of a job back then. Sun's other disguises included being a policeman, a messenger, and a maintenance man. He usually arrived at the banks or stores slightly before they opened for the day. Besides being known as an innovative robber, Sutton recommitted in 1931 on charges of assault and robbery. He was sentenced to 30 years. But Brandon, like most of our mobsters, he escaped, of course. He escaped in 1932 by scaling the prison wall on 2 9-foot section ladders that were joined together. So, hey, you know, you do what you got to do to get out of there.
Nice.
Sun was apprehended in 1934 and was sentenced to 25 to 50 years in Philadelphia prison. For the machine gun robbery in the Corn Exchange Bank. In 1945, Sutton was one of 12 convicts who escaped the institution through a tunnel. Sutton was recaptured the same day by police officers. That was his fifth escape attempt, you know, in prison. So I told you the two more somewhat successful ones, but
oh my gosh.
I know. They just, you know, you just don't hear about good prison escapes anymore. We could really use some of that, but we're not
advocating for prison escaping. Stay where you're at.
I just get caught up in that TV show, Prison Break. Oh, you know. But there was a bigger conspiracy going on. So he was sentenced to life in prison as a fourth-time offender. Sutton was transferred to the Philadelphia County Prison. In 1947, Sutton and other prisoners dressed as prison guards. The men carried two ladders across the prison yard to the wall after dark. While the prison searchlights hit him, Sutton yelled, "It's okay," and no one stopped him. Talk about just knowing, like, act like you know what you're doing.
It's okay. It's okay. Nothing here to look at.
Right. Act like you know what you're doing. Brandon, one time I was in high school and this, I wouldn't say friend, but let's just say someone at my lunch table, this guy, he would just steal random things. He like took a school lunch tray and he just walked, he's like, just watch this. And he just walked like he knew what he was doing and no one stopped him from taking the school lunch tray. So you'd be surprised if you just be confident.
Act confident will be okay.
So, this started what would be coined as the Willie Sutton rule. Brandon, can you obviously, you know, this is good, quite a good mobster we're doing. If he has his own name to the rule, but can you tell us what that rule is?
Yes. So the Willie Sutton rule is often taught actually to medical students as Sutton's law. It states that when making a diagnosis, first focus on the obvious and conduct medical tests that may confirm the most likely diagnosis, rather than trying to diagnose a relatively uncommon medical condition, which is pretty ironic that this guy is being taught to medical school students.
It's just a rule that's caught on, kind of like Murphy's Law or something like that. that's pretty funny.
Go with the common. Go with the most obvious thing.
Mm-hmm. In 1950, Sutton was added to the FBI's list of 10 most wanted fugitives. That's when you know you've made it big.
Yeah.
Because of his love for expensive clothes, Sutton's photograph was given to tailors as well as police departments. That's pretty smart. It's pretty interesting. A 24-year-old tailor's son recognized Sutton on the New York subway in 1952 and followed him to a local gas station where Sutton purchased a battery for his car. The man reported the incident to the police, who later would be able to arrest Sutton. So it just tells you, you know, he might have been a good mobster, but you can't help when you like nice clothes. You don't just go to different tailors. It's like getting a haircut. You got to go to your barber.
You go to the same guy, you know. That's right. You did it. Dumb messed up.
I mean, you know, how do you change? You can't just change tailors just like that.
No, you're right. It's like changing barbers. That is a commitment.
You know, if you're going to prison for it, so be it. You got me.
It was worth it.
So Sutton did not resist his arrest by New York City police. He did, however, deny any robberies or other crimes since his 1947 escape from the Philadelphia County Prison. At the time of his arrest, Sutton owed one life sentence plus 105 years. You know, that's quite a bit of time.
Yeah, he is. That's a big deposit.
Mm-hmm. He was further sentenced to an additional 30 years to life in the New York State Prison, as if what he had wasn't enough.
That's the insult injury.
17 years later, the New York State authorities decided that Sutton did not have to serve all that time. Sutton was ill. He had emphysema and was preparing for a major operation on his arteries and his lungs. It sounds like that's the way to get out of jail is be on your deathbed almost.
Yeah, you're about to die, so let's gotta go home.
On Christmas Eve, 1969, William Sutton was 68 years old. He was released from the state prison. Ironically, in 1970, Sutton did a television commercial to promote the New Britain, Connecticut Bank and Trust Company's new photo credit card program. You just can't make this stuff up.
Like, I can't even break this thing.
I was like, are you kidding me? This is almost like, that movie, Catch Me If You Can, where
the guy
bounced checks ironically ends up helping the FBI with making checks, you know. It feels like that, just so ironic, but.
Mm-hmm.
So 1980, November 2nd, 1980, William Sutton died in Spring Hill, Florida. He died at the age of 79. So he actually lived quite a bit after being released from prison. So,
mm-hmm.
But man, one of the more unique ones. And shout out to our boy Spy Guy, for giving us this one. So
this one's quite the ride. It took some turns I did not expect.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brandon, we have to reward our listeners who have been listening all the way to the end. We are giving away a first ever "Do You Know the Mob" T-shirt. That's right, you heard me. It is in the process of being made right now. The way you win it, Brandon, do you want to know how to win? Do you want to know? Do you?
I want to know how our listeners can win.
All right. you follow us on Instagram and you comment on one of our posts. So you follow us on Instagram and comment on one of our posts. That is how you can get a t-shirt. So remember, our Instagram is at Do You Know The Mob. So
now, Sam, easy. How long is this good for? When do the listeners need to do it by?
We will pick a winner in a couple of weeks. So it's a chance to win. So stay tuned to your first ever Do You Know The Mob t-shirt. And Brandon, maybe I'll hook you up with one too.
Hey, we gotta be outfitted, man.
Thank you for listening, folks. I'm your co-host, Sam Brennan.
And this is Brandon Ellis.
All right, signing off.